Well, let's start with a prayer. I was forgetting the most important part. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I'm going to put a little bit of this song to let just this prayer, as we dive into prayer again. I love this song that we're just asking God for mercy. As you hear it, I'm just going to play for a few seconds, just dive into the ocean of mercy of God's heart. So we beg for his mercy for us and for all our loved ones and for all those people. We're going to get into our buses. Yes, thank you. Victoria is going to give you a handout that we'll need for the end. As soon as I put this, we're going to need that handout. So with this mercy, we kind of forget that this is the Jubilee year, right? It's a Jubilee year and it's not ended. It has not ended. We still have about a few months. It ends with Epiphany, if I'm correct. So January 6, 2026. And there's all these graces still coming and more, right? It's not that the Jubilee year ends and graces have finished. We know that's not true, but God gives us even extra graces on a Jubilee year, right? So let's not forget that. And how can I make this Jubilee year a new way of life? There might be a few things already that our Lord is talking to you through the different reflections of the day, with especially the gift of Mass. And so the mercy, that's the Jubilee year. It brings us mercy. So how can we proclaim to the world that God is merciful? Before being in Washington, D.C., where I'm stationed with another six consecrated, and my brothers, the legionaries, like I have about 9 or 10 legionaries that live in D.C. Father Francis lives in Rye, New York. But Mary and I come here more or less once a month for these different things that we do. And with that said, before coming here, I used to be in a school, in a boarding school in Switzerland that we have there. So it was obviously gorgeous, beautiful, with a lot of responsibility with those 100 girls pretty much every year because they just come for 1 year. So, but I remember talking to these girls and telling them, and I still see some of them, actually, there's some former students in Washington in studying in universities there, and it's just great to see how they're doing with their faith. And so, let's try to just, I'm going to be distracted, but I'm going to stay focused here. And so, with these girls, I would tell them, look, girls, it's much easier to get to heaven than to hell. Like, exactly, the devil is fighting his good fight, but you really have to want to go to hell to go there. Like, you really have to work for that. in the sense that Jesus is doing everything. And they will look at me like, ah, who's going to work for that, right? We don't want to work for that at all. We want to go to heaven. See, these are the type of little distractions. We can take this as part of the things that happen in our life, right? We're kind of, it doesn't happen to you that you're praying and all of a sudden, shoom, this distraction comes, or shoom, this distraction comes. So it's part of the daily life to kind of, whoa, Jesus, keep me focused. Keep me focused in the right direction. Thank you so much. Keep me focused in the right direction too, you right? So anyway, with the girls, I would tell them these because it's so true. God is giving us so many means to get to heaven. The plenary indulgences that we can get in a Jubilee year always, but then in the Jubilee year, double, right? We can get two in a day. There's just so much our Lord gives us. That's why I'm like, girls, like the nine Fridays, the Bridget, the prayers to St. Bridget, all these things. Our Lord has, like, our God, you know, mercy, like the chaplet of divine mercy, everything. See, so let's just, in that sense, like dive into this mercy of God and how we can bring it to others. I'll tell you this little story that happened to me on an airplane, and then from there we'll almost just connect to these because I want to take more time. I was actually still stationed in Switzerland, and there I was flying probably from, I can't remember if it was from here to there or there, like I was promoting the school, the summer, we have a summer camp too. And as I got on the plane, it was probably about 8 years ago. So it's an old plane compared to like now, because you know how the headsets of those times, and I explained that because you'll see with the story, they have like the connector and then the cord. So then anyway, I was just getting on the plane. It's those, the transatlantic. So it was two seats, four and two. And so I was sitting on the aisle, and there was a man sitting on the window. So I'm putting my things away, and as he gets the headsets, because the stewardess is giving them away before the flight takes off, he opens the little bag, gets the little thing that connects, because I could see it, and puts it on his mouth. And I'm like, Sarah, that's not edible. Like, I'm just like, what's, and he goes like, he takes it out. He's like, oh, my goodness, I thought there were pretzels. He was not even looking at the bag. He's like, I thought there were pretzels. And I'm like, oh, no, sir, no, that's the headsets. And he's like, oh, you saved my life. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, well, thank you, Jesus. So, of course, from that, of course, we started having, I love how God does different things on airplanes. I'm sure Father has quite a few stories, too. Of course, we're more in disguise. We're you know, like nuns, how do you call them? Like the, I forgot how.
Undercover
nuns. Thank you, Father, for the help. Undercover nuns. We don't have a habit because we're lay consecrated. So the nuns have a habit in the sense like as religious, right? And we're lay consecrated, so we don't have a habit. Okay, I'm not going to go into that. So then he starts asking like, oh, and so how many children do you have? And I'm like, ah, that's where everything begins. So then I'm like, oh, many, because I am consecrated to Jesus. What does that even mean, consecrated? So then I start explaining and how Jesus is my spouse. And he starts telling me about his wife and his children and how he's a fallen away Catholic. And so it's like, okay, so we had a conversation. And at the end of the plane, he gives me his card. And sometimes with men, I always think like, okay, phone, email, better email. So I gave him my email. And I told him, Brian, I'm going to keep praying for you. And he's like, yes, and I'll write you and this and that. And I'm like, you stay, you know, try to see what Jesus is telling you. Okay. About a month after, I get this email that is titled, Your Spouse Saved My Life. Imagine that. And I just, it's Brian from the plane. So I start reading the email and he goes, Luli, how are you? I had not written, but look at what happened to me. Your spouse saved my life. He was in the Bahamas cleaning a boat or his boat. And he's like, I was cleaning this boat. And all of a sudden, I feel in my heart a voice that says, leave the place. And then again, leave the place. He's like, I'm imagining this for a third time, which is kind of like the confirmation. Now, like, leave the place. So he's like, I have to leave. I have to leave. He felt it strong. So he gets into his car and he's driving away while by in the mirror, he sees a small plane crashing on the boat. So all the people of the plane died, of course. But imagine, like, he was just obviously like, wow. Your spouse saved my life. What is my mission in life? He was asking. And I'm like, oh, go to Jesus, talk to him about that. And I think your wife and your children are the first ones that come in that mission, obviously. Like, work on your marriage, like Father was saying. So imagine, I just share that story because Jesus shows us sometimes these ways that are like, wow, the way he's working. But many of the times it's undercover, like we don't see it. But he is working big time, big time. How many people you've talked to, seen, smiled to, and then you gave them Jesus and you don't find out. But there's a lot happening. And even with your children, there's a lot happening. And then you find out afterwards. But there's a lot happening with those prayers that you don't find out until afterwards. Right? So that is our Jesus with his mercy. So try to think of ways that you can make of this Jubilee year a new way of life with the way you are living these in plenary indulgences, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that it's such a gift given to us. And with that, with gratitude. And that comes to our handout. So, Luli's got to stop talking. And thank you for the wonderful man that came and put this together.
Do you want to be...
Okay, so how many of you know about The Chosen? So with The Chosen, you know how... thank you, Father. As I was doing my spiritual exercises, I don't know if you've seen season 5. And you've watched this particular part of what the Dayenu is. There's this Hebrew tradition, this is like tradition that they have, that Dayenu, and you have it in your handout, means it would have been enough. And they say a prayer to God after, like they do it when the Egyptians, like when Jesus, when God saved them from the Egyptians. See, deliver them. So they go like, if only you would have opened the oceans and not sent the plagues, it would have been enough. If only this, and it would have been enough. So then here, I'm just going to pass these 6 minutes, but I thought it would be powerful to show this. So that you can see it, how these, the women, because Jesus is telling the women that they cannot accompany him to Jerusalem because he doesn't want them to see him die. And they have a Passover scene dinner because then they do this Passover Seder prayer of the Dayenu as a tradition, thanking God for so much. And so they do their own with Jesus. And I want you to watch it so that right after that, then we'll do just a few minutes before we start our lunch of your own personal Dayenu of life. It would have been enough, Lord.